Got to chapter 3 finally. I've been reviewing my lesson again this morning, early this morning, and it's probably going to just hang on to your lesson because I doubt I'll finish the whole lesson this morning. I tried to cut them down, but the more I read, the more I want to write, and the more I write, the longer it takes to teach it, and well, you get the general idea. But we're going to try to cover at least the first 8 verses, or we'll get part of that done this morning. Titus chapter 3. If you're looking at the top of your notes, you'll notice there's a couple things there. Chapter 1, Paul covers the pastor's relationship and responsibility to the church. We went through that. What are the requirements for a pastor? What is his relationship to his people? What is his responsibility as a pastor? How is he supposed to live? What kind of testimony he's supposed to have? By the way, still applies across the board. That has not changed. I don't think I'll say this about Faith Baptist Church because, you know, we're all here. Churches across America anymore, what pastors are required to do as part of their ministry, the requirements have slimmed down a lot. There's a lot of churches I've been to that I wish I was the pastor of. Basically, you don't have to do a whole lot. That's not true here, and I'm glad it's not true here. We have a lot of people we need to minister to, and we need to be careful in how we do that. Chapter 2, we just finished chapter 2. That had to do with the relationships and responsibilities of member to member. Older members to younger member, younger member to younger member, and we talked about those relationships and those responsibilities. In a general sense, all Paul is saying to Titus is, look, there's a certain way a church should be operated, and there's certain things that should be happening in your church, and there's certain responsibilities that not just the pastor has, but everybody has. The churches that work well are the churches that work well and evangelize well are the churches where everybody's involved. And again, I'll pat you on the back. Our church, Faith Baptist Church, has a lot of people involved. Come on a Wednesday night, and instead of counting, I think we had over 500 last Wednesday night. You come on a Wednesday night, and out of those 500 people, I don't think I'd be wrong in saying probably near 100 of those people were actually people working in the ministry. I mean, everything from the music or to the Iwana or to the teens or in the auditorium. You name it, there was people working all over the building. That's why we have so many on a Wednesday night or on a Sunday morning or Sunday night, because we have so many people involved in the ministry. Well, that was chapter 2. So what are we going to do in chapter 3? Well, there's another institution that's mentioned in chapter 3. If I said to you, it's also mentioned quite heavily in Romans chapter 13, you'd probably, if you know your Bible, immediately go, oh, know where you're going with that, because it's pretty obvious. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. It says, put them in mind. Now, let me say this. When he says put them in mind, who is he talking to? He's talking to the people he just wrote about in chapter 1 and chapter 2. He's talking about the pastors. He's talking about the leaders in the church. He's talking about the older women, the older men, the younger women, the younger men. He's talking about everybody he just mentioned. Now notice also, because this is going to come to an important point here, and I want to make sure you get this. If he's talking to the people in chapters 1 and 2, is he also talking to those people who would be considered slaves in the Roman Empire? Yes or no? Well, yes, he is, because you go back to the chapter three, and you see that same concept in that chapter where he mentions that. And so he's talking to everybody. You say, why would you mention specifically slaves in the Roman Empire? You'll find out in just a minute, but they have a responsibility to a higher government too. Think about that for a minute. I'll get to the point here in a minute, but I want you to see that. So he's talking about his relationship and responsibility to civil authorities. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready unto every good work. Now look at me. Everybody look this way. Sometimes, or a lot of times, you may not agree with the laws. You may not agree with the magistrates. You may not agree with who's in power. But before you get too carried away, read that verse again. Look at the verse now. When you're talking, I know, let's just be honest, okay? I know where most of our church stands when it comes to who is the president right now, right? I'm not going to have to mention names or doing, but I know where you stand. And I know most of you, if not all of you, are not happy with the current presidential situation. Amen? That's the biggest amen I've gotten here in years. But yeah, and we're not happy. But does that give you permission to disagree, and not just more disagree, but disobey? Look at me. I know you want to say, yes, we just read the Bible. Be careful. Let me read the verse again. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and to powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready for every good work. I mentioned a while ago, this would not only apply to the people in the church, the pastors and the members, but it would also apply to those who were in slavery. You know what Paul's saying? Think about this for a minute. Paul's saying to them, I know you're in a bad situation, and I know you've been captured through the Roman government, brought to this country, and put into a slave situation. Some of them weren't foreign slaves. Some of them were domestic slaves, people who had no finances, had no money, had to hire themselves out as slaves. And he says to those people, too, you ought to obey the people above you. Now, you think about the level of obedience, and you think about what he's saying. Wow. Let me ask you a question. Were those slaves enslaved unjustly? Well, all slaves are enslaved. That's a moot question. And are all if I go to another country or I go to this country and I oppress a certain group of people and I kidnap those people, that's what you do in slavery, by the way. You can say slaves don't volunteer. I would like to come to your country. No, that's not what happens. If we kidnap those people, we bring them to our country. Is that just? Yes or no? No. But even in that unjust situation, Paul says, obey the magistrates, those who have the rule over you. By the way, go back to Romans chapter 13. Keep your hand there. We'll come right back. I want to make sure you understand the principle. We've been talking about on Wednesday nights the difference between doctrine and principles and biblical concepts that are given in the Scripture and how we're supposed to follow those. Romans chapter 13. You know the verses. Go to Romans chapter 13. We'll read that real quick. Same concept in Romans 13. Paul says the same thing to the church. Where is this church located? Romans 13. Easy answer. Rome, center of the Roman Empire. In the center of the Roman Empire, were there slaves? Were there people being treated unjustly? Was the Roman Empire, the Caesars, when the Caesars were in control, were they always good men who did the right thing? No. You know how some of them got in power? By killing the guy who was in power. We had him murdered, now I'm in power. That's how it works, okay? That's not always how it works. Some of them were children or soldiers who came up through the ranks. And so. But it was not a just system of government. It wasn't always what the people wanted. And Paul wrote this, Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. That speaks a little bit about the sovereignty of God. How God allows some things to happen. Doesn't cause it to happen all the time, but he does allow some things to happen. Okay. I know where we stand on a lot of issues. Let me just ask a yes or no question. Did God allow, I didn't say cause, did God allow Joe Biden to be elected? I'm not asking if you're happy about it. I will tell you straightforward, you can ask me my personal opinion, not happy, not satisfied, not pleased with anything hardly that's going on in that administration. Sometimes, so angry, okay, that it just, yeah, I'm like you, I get it. But does this not apply now? Verse 13, look at chapter 13 again. Look at verse 1. Let every soul be subject to higher power, for there's no power but of God. The powers to be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. The word damnation there is not talking about hell. It's talking about judgment. You'll be judged for that. For rulers are not a terror to good works, or at least they shouldn't be, right? Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the same. Thou shalt have praise of the same. For he, talking about those who are elected officials, those who are administrative, those who are over us in government, for he's a minister of God for thee to good. But if thou do not that which is that which is evil, be afraid, for he that beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger that executeth wrath upon him that doeth evil. The concept of government in the Bible is that the good is taken care of and the bad is also taken care of, right? That's why we have government. There's a certain... When you start saying crazy things like defund the police, do away with the FBI, listen to me, I'm not saying that some of those organizations don't have corrupt people in them. You know why I know they do? Because everybody in those organizations are human. And some of those humans are really corrupt. I mean, and I get that. But in an overall sense, do you need the police force? We'll just keep right here in the local. Do we need a police force in Danville, Indiana? Yes. Are you happy when you forget how fast you're going down Old Main and the police force pulls up behind you with those blue lights flashing? It is blue, right? Blue lights here. When those blue lights flashing, does that make you happy? Probably not. I doubt many of you say, well, praise God, the police are doing their job. I'm so thankful that they stopped me from trying to kill somebody by going too fast and not paying attention to the speed limit. That's probably not what goes to your mind. But should you still obey? Okay. Some of you already know where I'm going this morning, and you're looking at me like, oh, boy, he's going to be crazy. I'm not going to get political. I'm just going to read the scripture. Go back to chapter 3. He says that again in verse 1, tells about the magistrates and the principalities, the powers that are over you. Verse 2, connected to the same verse in the same context. Look at me. Same context, yes or no? Everybody look this way. I got the yeses from over here. I'm looking over here now. Same context, right? We're in the same chapter, same letter, same context. About the principalities, the powers that are above you. Now look what he says in the next verse. To speak evil of no man. Be careful what comes out. I know you get, hey, I get frustrated too. I get, that speech, anybody see the last speech with the red background and the Marines and all? Does that bother me? Yes. Does that give me a right to speak evil? Be careful. You see what I'm saying? I can say this was wrong, and I can say that was wrong, and I can say I don't agree with that, but I can't speak evil against the man. By the way, if I'm telling the truth about what he said, I'm not speaking evil. So balance that, right? Again, look at it again. To speak evil no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves, you have the same problem. You ever do that to somebody? You judge somebody else and you forget that you, hey, I know, I've done the same thing, right? That happens a lot in marriage, by the way. You criticize something your wife did, only for her to say, well, the other day you, right? And we both go, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. Anybody here would raise your hand and say, yeah, sometimes I've done foolish things. I'll put my hand way up high. Sometimes we were disobedient. Any disobedient people in here? Nobody in this section is disobedient. Okay. I need to sit with these. Yeah, okay, there you go. We're sometimes foolish. We're all sometimes disobedient. Keep reading. Sometimes we've been deceived. We've been lied to, and we fell for. You ever? Doesn't that a horrible feeling to realize I've been lied to and I fell for it? I've had that. By the way, I've had that happen from the pulpit. Not necessarily in this church, but in the past, I've been in churches, or I've been in meetings where a guy said something to the pulpit, and I thought, yeah, that's good. Only to think later and say, wait a minute, that can't be right. Ever been deceived? Of course you have. Sometimes we've been disobedient, foolish, deceived. Sometimes we've served diverse lusts. We've yielded to our own lust and pleasures. We've done what we knew was wrong, but it felt good. If it feels good, come on. If it feels good, isn't that a world's philosophy? If it feels good, you should do it. In fact, the world's philosophy now has changed. That was more of a saying when I was a teenager, if it feels good, do it. Now, if it feels good, you deserve it. Have you noticed that? Anybody besides me notice that subtle change? It's not that you should do it. Oh, no, you deserve it. I would love credit card commercials. Credit card commercials say, oh, if you want to do this, we'll take care of you, and you can go. I have a credit card, so therefore I can do what I want. Whoa, talk about a dangerous philosophy to teach young people. Get them in debt for the rest of their life, some of them. Anyway, you get the idea. Serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice, ill intent towards somebody else, envy, hatred, hating one another. But after the kindness and love of our God, our Savior toward man appeared. Let me finish. I got to turn my page. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. We'll talk about that verse in a minute. But all it's saying is this. Listen, go back to verse 4. Verse 3 is what you were. Verse 4 and 5 are what? If you're a Christian, what are verse 4 and 5 saying? This is what you were. This is what you should be. So you have a comparison here. Here's how you were. Here's what you were. How can you judge somebody else who isn't saved and criticize them for doing the exact same things that you did when you were unsaved, some of us when we were saved? But you've changed, right? Well, how do I know you've changed? I know it by your testimony, what you do, and I know it by your tongue, by what you say. You can talk about being a Christian all you want, but people look at you, they watch your life, they watch your mouth, they hear what comes out of your mouth, and that testimony speaks much louder than you trying to tell everybody you're a Christian, not showing you're a Christian. I mean, it's a tough passage of Scripture. Okay, so look at the top here. So, middle of the page. So, what does it mean to be a good Christian? How to be a good Christian? Well, a good Christian obeys the laws. Yes or no? A good Christian obeys the laws of the land. Boy, could I have some fun here. I'm not going to go into too much detail here because, can I say this? Most everybody in this auditorium, you're a lawbreaker. And I'm not talking about just God's law. I'm talking about civil law. Most everybody in this auditorium, you're in some... I have on my record... I don't know if you can go up and look this up. Derek, you might want to look this up. I have on my record at least 2 law violations in my... I'll be 66 this year. So 50 years of driving, I've had 2 speeding tickets. You say, well, that's no big deal. No, it's a violation of the law, right? Some of you are like, 2? Some of you think that's a lot. Some of you are like, I had 2 my first week I got my license. But I know you people. But we have a responsibility to obey the law. That's a simple idea. I think most of you know it, being subject to principalities, powers, magistrates. There are at least 3 reasons why Christians must obey the law of the country they live in. Number 1, obedience to authorities is obedience to God. God is the one who ordained government. We just read that in Romans chapter 13, did we not? Who set up those powers? God did. Who allowed those powers to be in control? God did. If you don't obey the powers, then you don't obey God. Now, there is a sentence in this thing I want to make sure you understand. It's in bold print. Because there is an exception to that rule. Amen?
That's right.
Here's the exception. As long as the authorities obey the Scriptures and demand nothing of us to the contrary to them, we have a responsibility to obey them. Is there anything unscriptural about making the speed limit go from 50 here to 40 over there? Anything unscriptural about that at all? Look at me. Answer the question. Is anything unscriptural about that? No. So if you're going down Old Main and you're doing 50, I don't know if it's 50 or 55. I know it's at least 50. If you're going down and you hit a sign and there's this little white, rectangular sign that says 40 miles an hour now, do you have any excuse? Say, you know what? They're impeding on my personal rights. God would not have me go slower, and therefore I'm not. I don't think that's the way it works. And by the way, do not try that argument with a police officer. What is the thing, the citizen, non-citizen thing? I can't remember the name of that. I'm not a citizen of this country. I'm a citizen. I forget what it's called, but there's some crazy stuff out there. If the authority now. There are different things that the government does. The taxes are a big thing for me. I hate people that criticize and complain. I think we have way too many taxes, and I think we waste the money that we get on taxes. Amen? I think most people would agree with that. They tax us for being born and tax us for dying and tax us for breathing air. I'm not against taxes. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad we have taxes because I like good, smooth roads. I wish more money would go towards that. Okay, I'm glad we have taxes because I like to play. We have several police officers around here, not only to come here, but to help us here. I think they should get paid. Amen? If you ever hear that defund the police thing, that just, my poor brain goes, what? So who's going to, anyway, if my house catches on fire, guess what? I want the fire department well equipped and come as fast as they can get there. You know who pays for it? I have no problem with taxes, don't get me wrong, but sometimes it's like ridiculous. I pay my taxes because I'm required to as a citizen. I have every right to try to vote to change that, but I also have a responsibility to pay it. I mean, you read this. You can read again, by the way, same concept in 1 Peter. You'll read it in 1 Peter. You'll read it in Titus chapter 3. You'll read it in Romans chapter 13. Over and over, you're going to hear this principle, okay? So I have a responsibility. Now, if our president, or as pastors say, not our president, whatever, if the guy who is in the White House gets up and says, from here on out, if you claim to be a Christian, you cannot have services anymore. Public worship services are condemned. Guess what we're going to do? We will disobey that law. Why? Because God tells us to meet together and to worship. And I'm going to obey God rather than them. And when there is a clear distinction where the scripture is being violated, I'm not obeying that. But be careful. Listen to me. I know we're fundamental Baptists and we're crazy people sometimes. And we are independent, and we will not let the government. Okay, I got it. I'm all for it. I'm with Pastor Monty 100%. But listen to me. If you're going to disobey the law, you better be able to point to chapter and verse. Here's why we disobey the law, because God said this. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Wow. Bunch of lawbreakers in here. I don't think you believe that. You obviously believe that we don't disobey the law unless the law disobeys God. Amen? And by the way, there are times where civil disobedience is required of Christians. But think about when this was written. The Roman Empire ruled this area. And Paul was saying, yes, even though the Roman Empire is wicked, and even though the Romans are murdering Christians in the Colosseum, you have to obey certain laws. But he didn't say to them, if they ask you to deny Christ, deny Christ. No, can't do that, won't do that, absolutely will not do that. Many people died in the Colosseums because they wouldn't do that. They defied that authority. And by the way, they were right to defy that authority in that situation, right? So there's a balance here. You get the balance? Everybody still with me? Okay. All right, so let's move on here. So obedience to authority is obedience to God, God-ordained government. Number two, obedience to authorities will ensure that order is maintained in our society. That's assuming, by the way, that the those in charge are there to maintain order. I'm not even sure that's happening sometimes nowadays, right? Some of you remember the riots in the last couple of years and some of the things that happened, and the civil authorities stood back. Well, that was dereliction of duty. I don't know if it was the mayor. I don't know who's in charge. I don't know if it was the police chief. I know this. Some things happened that should not have happened. And we're responsibility of the authority that we put in place to take care of it. And they ought to be condemned for that. You ought to say to them, that was wrong. And by the way, I don't have any problem with saying that President Biden's wrong here, or wrong here, or wrong here, or wrong here. I'm not going to impugn the man's character, although I don't think I'd be happy if I knew him personally. But I can say something about the things that he does. That's wrong. Amen? And you're okay for doing that. Just don't go so far. You don't know the man. Well, I've got to be careful here. What he's doing is your responsibility to uphold or say no and vote against. I think maybe in November we're going to find out what happened with that deal, but we'll see. Okay, so obedience to authorities ensure that order is maintained in our society. The purpose of government is to maintain law and order, that good may flourish and evil may be restrained. Dr. McGee, J. Vernon McGee said that, and I agree with J. Vernon McGee. Here's the problem. I don't know that that's what's happening now. Right? Let me read again. You tell me if this is what's happening. Now I'm only talking about our government. I'm only talking about United States. The purpose of government is to maintain law and order. You would agree with that part, right? That, there's a reason why we maintain law. That good may flourish and that evil be restrained. Is that what's happening?
Absolutely not.
No, it seems like to me we're going the other way. Evil is flourishing, and good is being restrained. And that's why you hear statements from Pastor Monty. Sometimes it sounds shocking, because he's saying, listen, don't let this happen. And by the way, he should ring that bell. Amen? Anybody agree with me on that? There's a bell he should ring. And he should be able to say, that's wrong. I don't have a problem with, I know some people do, I don't have a problem with Pastor Monty getting up in the pulpit and saying, you ought to vote against this law. or you're to vote against this person because here's what they believe and here's what they'll institute. Nothing wrong with that. That's not taking on the person's character. That's taking on their policy. And when a policy is unscriptural, we should stand against it. You got to vote. Shame on you as a Christian if you don't vote. Get in there and vote. Or quit complaining about yourself. You sit at home, don't do anything, and don't quit complaining. You've got a principle there. Okay, so number two, we went through number two. Number three, obedience to authority is a part of a Christian testimony to the unsaved world. We do not steal. We do not, I put this in here intentionally. We obey the speed limits. We pay our taxes. We must maintain the right testimony in the world as well as in the church. True? Be careful what you say, you're saying in public. You can criticize any policy that's unbiblical and unscriptural in public. No problem. You start criticizing people, let me just be specific. You start saying things about Joe Biden or Nancy Pelosi, insulting, mean-spirited, attacking the person, you're wrong. I'm just reading the Bible. You don't like what I'm saying. That's fine. You can get mad at me later. Come up behind me and whack me in the back of the head. It won't hurt. My dad did it enough. I'm just kind of thick back there. Okay? Put them in mind. Go back. Read it again. See if I'm telling you the truth. Put them in mind to be subject to the principalities, to powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Continue with the same thought. To speak evil of no man. It doesn't say don't speak evil of the man's policy. To be no brawlers. You don't attack the Washington, D.C. You don't attack the White House. Hello? Boy, it got quiet in here. Be careful what you're saying. Be gentle, showing all meekness to all men. Okay? I'm just reading what's there. You don't like it. Not everybody likes what I say. That's okay. I don't have a problem, by the way, with a Christian. Let me say this. I don't have a problem, by the way, with a Christian defying an authority that is defying God. But let me say something if you choose that route. When a Christian defies the authority that is disobeying God, that's great. But understand, you know what happened back then? Then they also had to accept the consequences of that. Some of them stood in front of a roaring lion, literal, not the devil himself, but a literal roaring lion in a coliseum for the stand they made. I don't have any problem with you making a righteous and right stand. And by the way, if I live much longer, there may come a day where somebody may put a gun to my head and say, deny Christ or die. Or you can't worship. And if you worship, you open that worship service, we'll put you in jail. There may come a day they put handcuffs on me and take me to jail. Pastor Monty actually is looking for that day. I think he's anxious for it. I'm not. I won't lie about it. I'm not looking for it. I work as a sheriff's chaplain, and I don't look forward to going to jail. I don't want to. That's something about that. But you know what I'm talking about? That buzzing clink sound behind me. If you've ever walked through a jail, that is not the most comfortable feeling in the world. Being that kind of restricted makes me nervous. I don't look forward to it. But someday I may have to take that route. If I take that stand, someday I'm going to look in the face of authority and say, "No, that's not right. God would not have me do that, and I'm not doing it." Derek, I hope it's not you putting me under arrest. That would not be fun. Okay? You understand that, right? I'm not saying that doesn't happen, and I'm not saying it can happen. I'm just saying this. If you take that stand, that's fine, and it's probably right to take that stand, but you also are accepting the consequences for that. And there will be consequences, right? Do you understand that? In an evil government, there will be evil consequences. That just makes sense to me. So understand how all that works together. You know, a lot of people think I'll do this and I'll do this and I'll defy the government, I'll do this, and then there's no consequences to that. Yeah? What about the guys on January 6th that now are suffering consequences? You say, I think they were right. I didn't say they were right or they were wrong. I'm saying right or wrong, were there consequences? Yes. Understand that. Joining a rebellion, when the rebellion's right, may be a good thing. That doesn't mean it's going to come out good. A lot of Christians have died like that. Okay? Go to the next one. Go to the next page. Okay? I didn't expect to go that long on all that. I have no idea where all that came from. I just got a little carried away. A good citizen is ready to serve his country. Now, when I say ready to serve his country, you'll notice there's two different things there. Let me just say this in a lot of ways. I am talking about in a military sense. A good Christian, I was not in the military. I thank God for every man who ever went to Vietnam. I graduated from high school in 74. Vietnam wasn't over, but they were pulling out in 73. They dropped the draft. I didn't have to go. Do you think I appreciate guys who went to Vietnam for me? 100%. I have never failed, probably at least I can say in the last 10 years, when I see a guy wearing a hat that says Vietnam, like Gary Brown, I always stop and talk to those guys and tell them, you're one of those guys that saved my life. Because I was a very stupid 17, 18-year-old, and I got a feeling I would have been just dumb enough to rush in somewhere and get my head blown off. I just know my temperament. I'd have been that guy charging the hill. Ah, boom! You know, that would have been the idiot here. I don't have any... first time I ever played live paintball with paintball guns where they hit you, and by the way, they hurt. First time I ever played, I got crazy, and I was running through a building. They started the game. 30 seconds later, I was dead. That's a guy you want in Vietnam, right? So let me tell you, I appreciate guys who did that for me. And I appreciate our military, and I think our military ought to be honored. Amen. I don't think we do enough for our veterans. I think we do okay, but I think we should do better. And I don't think they get the respect they need or the treatment, and we could go on and on. Yeah, do I feel that way about police officers? Absolutely. I had a police call was that yesterday back? I guess that was yesterday, wasn't it? Friday? Yeah, Friday. And what those guys have to do, some of you heard the story about the young little 4-year-old that got lost, Niji, and she drowned. I got called to that call. I was a chaplain on duty, so I went to that call. What they have to do there, you don't respect that, something's wrong with you, right? I respect. So when we're talking about being ready to serve, those who serve in military, those who serve in our police force, we talk about them a lot. Can I say this? We should be talking. I wish we were talking about that, about people who are willing to serve in politics. Rarely do I hear anything good about politicians. It's always a bad. And by the way, can I say this? It's always out of the mouth of Baptists. All right, think about it. When's the last time you heard Baptists praising politics or praising a politician or thankful that somebody was willing to do it? I'm just saying, we have a responsibility. Those people that serve, I think of the businessman who takes care of that. I think of the family man. I think all of those concepts, all of those things are things that we should be doing. We kind of let that go. Good citizens are ready to serve their country. By the way, best way you can serve your country if you're not one of those people, I'll tell you straight up. We're a little bit older in this room than a lot of people. But for you younger people, raise children right. Teach them biblical concepts. You're an older person, talk to your children, talk to your grandchildren. Make sure that they're living a biblically correct life, that they have a testimony that honors God, that they understand the principles that are in the Bible. That's what builds a country. You get away from that, the country will destroy itself. It's happening right now. So anyway, let me keep moving here. We're never going to get through this. Here's the third thing. Good citizens, careful of his speech. Now, I'm not going to take a lot of time this because I got a little bit ahead of myself a while ago. But let me just read some passages to you. James chapter 4, verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Biblical principle, yes or no? Watch what comes out of your mouth. How about this? 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, that's evil, that's ill will or evil intent, okay? All guile, deceit and subtlety, and hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speaking. That would include defamation of character. That would include libel. That would include slander. That would include talebearing. Put all that away. Now, look at me. Here's where Christians go wrong. I'm just going to say it. You don't like it? Fine. We try to do that when it comes to the people in this circle. That is not what those pastors is talking about in general, not just in the church. Watch what you how you slander others outside of the church. Just because they're not of us doesn't mean they're not human. Your neighbor hears what you have to say about your government, what you have to say about yourself. Maybe they need to hear what you have to say, but they don't need to hear what you have to say about that person's character. That's part of your testimony. Right? I mean, am I taking this out of context? Yes or no? Nobody answered. I'm just going to say no. You won't answer. I answer myself. How about this? Proverbs chapter 10, verses 18 through 20. He that uttereth a slander, that's him that whispers an evil report, is a fool. And the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, or there's no lack of sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. I have said this all my life, and I think it's truer as the older I get. The older I get, the less I speak. You would have asked me a question when I was 19, 20, 21 years old, because back then I knew everything. You remember that? You remember when you knew it? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You knew everything. You had all the answers. When I was in my 20s and 30s, dude, I can tell you, and my mouth would run. Subject come up, I just got to tell you. I'll tell you what I think about that. And words that came out of my mouth, wow. If I could go back and take some of those back. Nowadays, I do a lot of, well, I'm not going to talk about that. You want to talk about politics? Fine. You want to talk about Nancy Pelosi's character? No, that's not my job. That's not my call. May not like her, may not like what she's doing, but that's not for me to say publicly, and that's not for me to criticize publicly. But her policies? Woohoo! Let's go. Where she stands on this, I'm all for it. Our vice president? Oh my goodness. Her policies and what she does are literally now what she doesn't do? Oh yeah, I'll talk about that all day long. Because that's her job. That's where she isn't. And I have every right to say something about that. Right? I didn't vote for her. And so I have every... You understand what you... How many of you see the balance here? Everybody see the balance? Okay. There is a balance. Be careful that you don't cross that line. I know... I know it's easy... If you get talking about policy and you get upset and you get irritated and you get frustrated with where this $80 billion's going and that $60 billion's going and another $10 billion here. Oh, I know. Oh, I'm sitting at home going, same thing you are. What are we doing? We can't close this border, but we're going to protect that one. This is crazy stuff. I mean, it's crazy. And I will talk all day long with you about those policies and why I disagree with those policies and why sometimes they are biblically wrong. Indiana trying to overthrow, we overthrew Roe versus Wade. We made a new law. Now we're already trying to overthrow it under our own Indiana Constitution, which is nonsense, by the way. And I have no problem saying it's nonsense. It's crazy what they're trying to do. I have never seen a country, and it scares me to death, a country who is so set on killing babies, and that's what it is, it's murder. I have never seen, we are so set on murder, we'll do anything, we'll change the law. That scares me. Now, is it wrong for me to say any of that? No. Who did I talk about? And whose character did I impugn? And what malice did I show? You understand what I'm saying? I can say all those kind of things, and I can say them rightly, and should say them. And I should be saying to my neighbor, that's wrong. You can't vote for that. Not, I don't like that person because they're this and they're that. No. November's almost here. You better know why you're voting or why you're not voting. Okay? I don't know where I got off on some political train this morning, but I'm just having fun. Okay, so I wrote a couple different sentences here. I think you'll like these. We may have the right to speak freely, but we don't have the right to speak carelessly. Agreed? I have the right to share my opinion, but that doesn't mean I can just say anything I want to say. That's absolutely 100% dangerous. How about this? I said this to some people the other day who were talking in a low tone of voice the other day behind me. And I said this, good news and kind words rarely need to be whispered. Unless you're planning my surprise birthday party. Okay, I understand that. But, you know, when I see two people in a corner, I'll tell you, that's probably not necessary. Why are you doing that? You want my opinion? You want opinion? Anybody want opinion? when I see people in a corner whispering, I'm pretty sure they're not saying something they should be saying. That's the way I look at it. You don't have to agree with it. I'm not positive, but I'm thinking, I'm probably not going to go over and say, what are we talking about? Right? I don't want to know. If you're whispering it, and you're every time somebody, you're like this, two people are whispering, you walk by and until you get past them, and then, okay, I'm not even going to ask. I'm pretty sure that's not a conversation I want to hear. By the way, if your character is the opposite of that and said, that's the one I want to hear, okay, be careful. I have no idea where I'm going this morning. I'm just having fun. Okay. William Barclay, an old pastor, said this: a good citizen will be just as careful about the words he speaks as the work he does. Amen? Now, we got to verse 1 and we got a little bit of verse 2. I'll finish the rest of this next week. I got a page and a half of notes out of 5 pages, so you kind of knew that was coming. Hang on to your lesson. We'll finish that next week, or at least we'll jump on it. I'll try not to get off on a crazy train. All right? Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for the government that we have. None of us in this room, I dare say none of us in this room are satisfied or happy with what's happening or with the government officials and their policies. But help us, Lord, to respond to that in a Christ-like manner. We don't have to act like the rest of the world. We don't have to say things that aren't true. We don't have to go in half-truths. We don't have to criticize people. But, Lord, we have to say something about what's going on in America. Just make sure, help us to make sure that we're doing it following the principles that are laid down in Romans chapter 13, in 1 Peter, in Titus. Lord, those principles are there for us to remember and to live by. Not just to say, well, yeah, I know the Bible says that, but help us to be people who control our tongues and do everything we can do to control our society and our government so the gospel can continue to be preached. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you are dismissed.